141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. After 24 days without top flight league action, the Ladbrokes Premiership returns tonight. Celtic head to Partick Thistle, and with speculation about Moussa Dembele's future refusing to go away, will the striker play for the Hoops tonight? Elsewhere, Jason Cummings says he hopes to form a deadly strike force with Alfredo Morelos. That's as Martin Canning updates us on the Greg Docherty situation, and Derek McInnes has revealed he does want the Scotland job, just not at the moment. Gordon DL and Roger Hanna are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Are we both well?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Good, thanks.
Plenty of footballing, debating and discussion points to get through over the next couple of hours. It's 01419511025 if you'd like to join us. And of course, we are on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. Only one place to start tonight though: the Energy Check Stadium at Firhill. Partick Thistle against Celtic. Here's Andrew McLean.
Well, good evening, guys, from what is a very empty Energy Check Stadium at Firhill. But of course, it will be a lot busier once we approach kickoff. 7:45 it is here tonight. We expect it to be a sellout as well. Back to league action for these two sides after the winter break. And of course, they both had cup action at the weekend. Celtic 5-0 winners over Brechin, and Thistle will a hard-fought victory for them down at Palmerston against Queen of the South. 2-1 it was, and two goals for Connor Salmon, and Alan Archibald must be delighted with that. His strikers haven't really been firing at all this season. Doolan and Story struggled for goals, but Salmon with two at the weekend. But speaking of strikers, as you alluded to earlier on, Gordon, Moussa Dembele, the big story here. Will he play for Celtic tonight? We don't know. Brendan Rodgers said at the weekend that he didn't feel that Moussa Dembele was in the right mental state to play against Brechin, which really begs the question, why was he even on the bench tonight? Will he be in the starting lineup? Will he be in the squad at all? That's what people are wondering. Well, Lee Griffiths, we expect him to be back tonight, so that may well make Brendan Rodgers' mind up for him. But plenty to talk about here at the Energy Check Stadium ahead of tonight's Partick Thistle versus Celtic.
What conditions like, Andrew? We already know Albion Rovers against St Johnstone, for instance, is off. The pitch at Livingston, whilst it's playable, looks a bit soggy. The rain has been absolutely battering down today. Everything good where you are?
Well, on the drive here, the rain was, as you said, battering down, but it's calmed down significantly now. The pitch looks in good nick. The rain's away, a slight bit of wind, but the conditions look good for a game of football tonight.
Celtic fans, Partick Thistle fans, why not get in touch? The Celtic fans, the question for you is this: should Moussa Dembele play tonight or not? 01419511025. Partick Thistle fans, do you fancy your chances of causing an upset? Why not get in touch? Gentlemen, I think just generally speaking, it's good to see the return of top flight league football.
Yeah, looking forward to Roger and I were at Celtic Park for a Scottish Cup tie against Brechin on Saturday. Five goals, Gordon, which was always nice to see. Obviously, not if you're a Brechin player or a supporter, but they had a good support down. And, you know, I think everybody's delighted the winter break's over with now, and it's back to domestic football. And a couple of good games coming up: Partick Thistle, Celtic tonight. You've got Rangers Aberdeen tomorrow as well. So a lot of good football, and Roger and I are back at Celtic Park for Celtic Hibs, which should be another cracker.
Yeah, listen, the winter break was fine, but we're back to the proper stuff now. It's going to be unrelenting for several weeks. League games this midweek, cup games this midweek, a full card at the weekend, including, as Gordon said, Celtic Hibs, Rangers in Dingwall on Sunday, then Rangers in Fraserburgh next midweek, Celtic Hearts, and it won't be too long until Celtic Zenit. So we're delighted to be back to the proper stuff, Gordon, and we'll look forward to seeing how it all shakes down.
Well, the big discussion point before the game tonight will centre around Moussa Dembele and whether he plays or not. Let's remind ourselves of the lie of the land at the moment, because after the Brechin game, Roger, you were there at Brendan Rodgers' press conference. He said that the focus perhaps wasn't quite there, and that's why Moussa Dembele didn't play. Chris Davis yesterday spoke to both the broadcast media and the written media, and the quote that jumped out from newspapers like yourselves, Roger, was there's also an acceptance, maybe Moussa feels it's the right time to move on. That's what he said to the newspapers. Let's hear what he said to the broadcast press, and then we'll try and look at this one in a bit more detail.
He's available to be involved, yeah, so there's every chance he'll be involved. So he was training, as you saw there today, so Moussa, to be honest with you, is absolutely no different to the other guys at the moment in terms of the speculation around him, and obviously, as the manager alluded to, that he's may have affected him slightly, but no, he's part of the available squad. Yes, he's in the right frame of mind to be involved. I think the manager was talking about the instability that can be created. You know, that he's a good professional, Moussa. You know, I've had no problems with him in that respect, so he's not one that he's causing problems. And he's still a young man as well. So we're also trying to protect the player as well as anything else. But no, there's no problem. He's here, he's available, and we carry on.
So he's available to play, Roger, says Chris Davis. But if you look back at the quote I just read you from the newspapers, is this the first real acknowledgement we've had from Celtic that Moussa Dembele wants to leave, is looking to leave during this window?
Yeah. Brendan Rodgers and Chris Davis tend to be about the collective more than the individual. The individual, in this instance, Moussa Dembele, his head wasn't in the right place to play at the weekend. He didn't play. I can't imagine in the space of 3 days things have significantly changed for Moussa Dembele. I don't think he'll play tonight. Of a hunch, and it's only a hunch, that Lee Griffiths will start. He's fully fit. Could have been playing at the weekend at a push against Brechin. There was no need to do that. I think they're just getting Lee Griffiths ready for tonight, so I would expect him to play. We've said in the show before, Gordon, there comes a point when players want to leave football clubs. In Celtic's instance, it happened with Virgil van Dijk. It happened with Victor Wanyama, with Gary Hooper. The list goes on. Joe Ledley was another. We've waited for the moment to come with Moussa Dembele. To be fair to Moussa Dembele, it didn't happen at all last season. There was speculation in January, speculation in the summer. At no point did Moussa indicate that perhaps the time to go had arisen. Chris Davis said yesterday, maybe people have to come to terms with the fact that Moussa is now ready to go. It's quite ironic though, because in the last two windows, when Moussa wasn't ready to go, there were people ready to take Moussa. They're not now queuing up to take Moussa Dembele. So the last 8 days of the transfer window are going to be fascinating.
The good thing about this question, Gordon, is we're going to have your answer very soon. So you're either going to be right or wrong. Do you expect Moussa Dembele to play tonight?
No. I watched the training session from my seat at Celtic Park, and Lee Griffiths,
after the game?
Yeah, very much involved in it. Looked fit, done all the running, come through it well. So I'm with Roger. If his head wasn't on a Scottish Cup tie against Brechin, the one thing I can't understand, I'm not telling Brendan Rodgers how to do his job, but I can't understand it. If Brendan Rodgers thinks that way about Moussa Dembele, what was the point of having him on the bench? I couldn't understand that one. And he was never ever going to go on the pitch as well. So, no, for 3 days later, you can't just say, well, he's in the right frame of mind, he'll go and play against Partick Thistle. It's got to be sorted out one way or another. Not just for Celtic, for a young lad as well. He's a young lad. He's a terrific talent, and obviously wants to play in the best league.
And it'll be interesting here, Celtic supporters making their way to Firhill tonight, what they think of it, because I get the impression now, for the first time, that Celtic fans would be willing to allow Moussa Dembele to leave the club so long as the club signed an adequate replacement.
Connor's in Coatbridge. Hi, Connor.
Hi, panel. My first time caller.
What made you call up tonight then, Connor?
It's just about Moussa Dembele. Obviously, he's a really good player, but he's no one's bigger than the football club, if you know what I mean. If he wants to go, just let him go, as you just said there. It's nobody is bigger than any football club, like any player, if you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I think, Gordon, I think that Celtic, it's not a case of letting him go. If the deal's right for Celtic, and it's right for everyone.
I mean, there haven't been any bids yet, so
exactly.
It's just hard to let someone go if there aren't any bids.
And Celtic will have a price tag on Moussa Dembele, and they will want that price tag met. So it's up to the buying club to come in and say, right, we want to take your player. I'm sure that Connor's right. If there's nobody bigger than any club, you don't want unhappy players. You don't want players that, you know, are sitting there thinking, well, I want to play in the English Premier League. I'd rather be down south. I mean, that's why probably Brendan Rodgers decided at the weekend, right, okay, take him out the firing line. As I said earlier, I don't know why he was on the bench, because he was never going to get on if that was the case. But I think everybody's got their price. And as long as Celtic get that price they want for him, and just listening to Chris Davis and reading bits and pieces today, it seems to me that if a bid does come in, I think they're quite happy to let him go.
But it's interesting, Gordon, because to think back to Christmas Day, the story that was doing the rounds in some TV channels of Brighton interest in Moussa Dembele, and Celtic seemed quite comfortable at all that happened, you know, all that going on. We've now only 8 days, you know, more than 4 weeks have passed since then, and there has been no bid. There's been inquiries, but no bid. If Moussa Dembele was to leave in the next day or two, Celtic would have plenty of time to go and get a replacement. But imagine we're sitting here next Tuesday night with 24 hours of the window to go, and someone comes in for Moussa Dembele then. It's going to be very hard for Celtic to sell unless they can press a button and suddenly a replacement's there.
I mean, Conor, you said, you know, no one's bigger than the team. That, in many ways, that's why Brendan Rodgers said that he was left out at the weekend, because Brendan Rodgers talks about putting the team first, and therefore he doesn't want to play someone whose head is perhaps not exactly where it should be. So do you understand why?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it's like his form this season has been like has been lacking because of obviously all of these interests. It's like if you were wanting to like interest big clubs, you think he would be like more like focused on wanting to score goals and all that kind of stuff, but it looks like he's not been on form this season. Like, even though he's had the injuries and that kind of stuff, but he's like, it doesn't look like he's like the player he was like last season, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, lots of tweets coming in as well. Celtic Matchworn says, if Dembele wants to leave, thank him for his service and cash in. If we got over Larson, we'll cope without Dembele. And Jamie Barr, Dembele's attitude for most of this season will probably put top teams off. Players like Forster and Wanyama were in top form till the last day at Celtic. Great player in theory, but with no effort, he's a man down. Having said that, Roger, he's also, there's certain circumstances this season, if we're being fair to the player, he's been injured, he's not played anywhere near as much as well, so it's not an exact comparison.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but if you take it back to about March last year, and March last year's 10 months ago, Gordon, it's not just a few weeks, 10 months, Moussa Dembele's form hasn't been terrific. Exploded onto the scene with that hat-trick against Rangers a year past in August or September, whenever it was, had a fantastic run right the way through. Scored the goal in the Cup semi-final against Rangers. Scored that fantastic back post goal against Rangers at Ibrox. Scored all manner of hat-tricks, all manner of goals. But from about March time onwards, he hasn't hit those heights at all. And that's an awful long time to be in the doldrums. Yes, he's been injured, but he's had many problems with form as well as fitness. And that's why I think Conor and other Celtic fans, if the deal was right, we'd be willing to see him go.
But the thing about it, Roger, it's okay saying, and Connor's coming on well, if he wants to go, fine. You don't want a player that's unhappy, but you've got to replace him. And whether his form's been good or bad, and I know he's had a few injuries, the one thing you've got to say about the lad is he's a terrific talent, Gordon. And it's going to be very hard to replace him. And I don't think that Celtic will move him on unless the deal is right for both parties.
Yeah.
So as much as people are saying, well, we've got Lee Griffiths. Now, I watched the lad, Edward, on Saturday, and it may have just been a one-off, but he didn't look like he was the kind of guy that if you let Dembele go, that he could get in there and be a replacement.
Joe's in Castle Milk. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how you doing, guys? All right?
Yes, good, thanks.
Just a quick point with regards to Moussa Dembele. A lot of people disregarding the value of the player, saying that he's not really been on his top mark at the moment. I can completely understand that, but with regards to today's market, there was a rumour flying about the other day that Crystal Palace had apparently bid £27 million. It'd been accepted, but I know it might sound extravagant, but in the market today, I think a player like Moussa Dembele, with his potential and his talent, scoring for his national country.
Hello, Joe. Try and get Joe back. I got the gist of where that call was going, yeah. Roger. It's very difficult to put a figure on it, let's be honest, because a player's only worth what someone's willing to pay.
If you were looking back, if you remember last January, there was talk of Chelsea, there was talk of West Ham, there were inquiries. You were talking, I mean, the caller mentioned the figure £27 million. Those kind of figures were being bandied about.
Let's be clear as well, Roger. Just on that point that the caller mentioned a rumour about Crystal Palace.
It definitely wasn't Partick Thistle.
No, I don't think so. But Brendan Rodgers said at the weekend there have been no bids yet.
There are no bids, just inquiries. But I think I've just checked there. Since Moussa Dembele scored against St Mirren in the Cup on the 5th of March, last year, which is a couple of weeks short of 11 months, he scored 8 goals. He scored 8 goals in 11 months. Now, yes, there's fantastic potential there.
With an injury in there, I'm sure you would.
Yeah, with an injury in there as well. But, Gordon, if you are, you know, the manager of Brighton or Stoke or Everton or West Ham or Crystal Palace, as the caller says, and you're looking around and say, this guy Dembele, what's he done in the last while? Oh, he's only scored 8 goals in 11 months, right? We'll only bid X million for him. So the money that is likely to be bid for him, if the bids come in this month, will be less than it was 12 months ago. And it's going to be a big dilemma for Celtic at what level they would be willing to sell.
I think we've got Joe back. Sorry, Joe, we seem to have lost you there. Are you on your way to the game?
Hi, how you doing, guys? I'm on my way to the game at the moment. But the point I was trying to leave off at there was basically the price for Dembele. The rumour was that there was a transfer bid from Crystal Palace for £27 million that had apparently been accepted. But the point I was trying to get on there, guys, was I know that Dembele's recent run of form hasn't been great, but I mean, you're talking about a guy who has had scored prolific goals for his country at under-17s, under-19s, under-21 levels. He's due a call-up for his first national team soon. Last season, playing against a team like Man City, I mean, the overhead kick that he scored against a team like Man City, who are currently running riot in the English Premier League at the moment, 15 points clear, apparently the best league in the world. A guy who can score a goal like that against a team like Manchester City, I know £50 million might sound extravagant, but in today's market, is £50 million Joe, a big prize,
Joe,
for a Scottish team? Or
Joe, see, if you had made this call on January 23rd last year, we'd all be sitting here agreeing with you. We'd all be saying you're absolutely bang on the money, and Celtic should hold out. £40 million was getting mentioned last January, and people were nodding, saying yeah, that's possibly fair. The point I'm making is, in the last 11 months, he's scored 8 goals. Now, that's just a statement of fact. I know he's been injured, etc. But people, potential buyers, will be looking at that and thinking, tell you what, I'm not going to bid what we might have bid 12 months ago.
I don't think even 12 months ago, Roger, I'm not being disrespectful to him. I think he's a terrific talent. You will be investing in, you know, the future for him, because he's a lot of development still to come. He's still a young lad. He's got everything in his locker. But to look at 50, I know there's reports of 40 million, 50 million. I know the transfer market is crazy just now in football, but I don't think Celtic would ever get anywhere near 40, 50 million for him.
Keep the calls coming, and Partick Thistle fans, I did say I wanted to hear from you. Any chance of an upset tonight? 0141 951 1025. We'll hear from Alan Archibald and Chris Davis after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Dl here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. A lot of the chat so far been about Moussa Dembele. Let's take a bit of a closer look at the actual football that's going to be played tonight, if you don't mind. Alan Archibald expects both sides to still have some rust to shake off when they play later. The Jags got past Queen of the South 2-1 in the cup, whilst, as you know, the Hoops eased to a 5-0 victory against Brechin. Archibald thinks it still could take time, though, to get back into the swing of league football.
You've got to take your chances. They come, they're very far and few, the chances you get against Celtic. We need to make sure we take them and make sure they work for their goals if they're going to get them and their chances. We've done it reasonably well in the two games previously, but a couple of just switch-offs in defence and they can cut you open. They've got that quality regardless of what 11 goes out. So that's what we've learned, and hopefully we can show that. It's the same for both teams because coming back off the break, and I think they'll probably say the same. I know they won 5-0, but the signs of rustiness there in your performance. There was hours, and we just need to see our boys react because they had a hard 90 minutes on the Arsenal Tough. Some of the guys, as I said, it was their first 90 minutes, Abdul and Callum. So we'll see how they are. We'll reassess them. We need our boys to be at their best, nearly their very best, and making sure that we tick every box in terms of defending properly. I think you always get one or two chances. It's just making sure you take them.
I did ask Jags fans out there to give us a call if you fancied your chances of an upset. I don't know if the fact that none have called in yet means that they don't, or they're just being a bit shy. I don't know how these things work, but there was a new signing for Thistle. It was kind of yesterday, kind of today. Bailey Cargill, a centre-back, signed a loan from Bournemouth. It looked as if it had been completed yesterday, Roger. It eventually was completed today, so a bit of a confusing one. When you look at the form or the table, first against 11th, chance for Celtic obviously to go 11 and 14 points ahead of Aberdeen and Rangers before they play tomorrow. How do you see the game itself going? Is it going to be a difficult one, or is it going to be a straightforward evening?
I always think it'll be a difficult one at Fir Hill. I think the one thing about Alan, he has his teams well organised. He's right, they will have to defend really well tonight. I still fancy Celtic. I think they're again firm favourites. You know, the battered Brechin on Saturday, they had a lot of possession, a lot of the ball, scored five goals, competition for places. As I say, you just look at their squad after a game that was training, and there's a lot of talent out in that park doing a training session looking for a jersey tonight. So no, I think that they'll have enough in their locker, but I think it'll be a difficult game, but I can't see past the Celtic one.
Scott is in Burmullagh. Hi Scott.
Evening guys.
Hi Scott.
Roger, I'd like to issue a wee bit with you, mate. The thought about Moussa Dembele, and it's okay quoting Munch, how many months he's not scored goals in. You didn't realise that he never played from the start of March to the end of the season. He only played in the cup, he didn't even play in the cup final. He was only fit enough to make an appearance on the bench, which he didn't even come on for. He then started pre-season, which we don't count goals or appearances in. He was then out injured again. He's only started 13 league games this season for Celtic, and he scored 4 goals. Right? It's all right talking about guys and writing them all. He's only scored 8 goals in 11 months. For 6 or 8 months, he was out injured.
For three months
is close season. So don't make this 11 months start thing to sound worse than it actually is. Because that's rubbish. That is absolute rubbish.
Scott, listen for a minute.
The guy's worth what another team will pay for him, Roger.
That's absolutely correct. 100% correct. The point I was making, Scott, was when Joe came on, Joe was talking about £50 million. Now, 12 months ago, when Chelsea and West Ham and all these people were showing serious interest in Moussa Dembele, I think all the chat was 30, 35, 40 million quid. And not, listen, as I said to Joe, the previous caller, if he'd made this call last January, we'd all have been nodding our heads in agreement with him. But if you're a manager of a team looking at Moussa Dembele now, you'll probably put an offer on the table which is less than you would have put on the table for Moussa Dembele a year ago, simply because he's had a difficult period of time over the last 10 or 11 months. I'm not saying it makes him a lesser player. He's probably been very unlucky with injuries. What I'm saying, Scott, is his value, as we sit here tonight, is less than his value was a year ago. And you're right, what you're saying, any player's value is just what a team is willing to pay for him. I think teams will be willing to pay less now than they were a year ago.
Well, here's the thing I've got to say, Roger, right? See, down in England, they throw silly money about, because the one thing that many of the clubs down there can do is get relegated. Would you agree with me? They'll do anything to stop them getting relegated down there. One of the clubs down there is going to get themselves into a wee bit of, well, there's two or three of them already in trouble, possible relegation candidates, and they'll throw stupid money at somebody. Who's to say somebody's not going to come out and throw that stupid money at Moussa Dembele and take a punt on a guy that, if they went to get somebody else for you, I don't know, for Newcastle, Aston Villa, they'll pay £35 million on. Well, Moussa Dembele, good scoring record last season. He's a young boy, plenty of potential. You know what? We get him for £15 million. And if we do get relegated, he's there for us the following season.
Well, with the conversation after in the show, after the supposed Christmas Day interest from Brighton as to what would be an acceptable figure for Moussa Dembele. Now, the figure that was getting talked about at the time was £18 million. Now, I think if Celtic were to be offered £18 million and a kind of sell-on clause, not dissimilar to the one that reaped the money from Virgil van Dijk when he moved on, I think Celtic might be interested at you know, a 15 to £18 million with a sell-on clause. But remember, if someone had said that to you 12 months ago, you'd have said, absolutely no way, this guy's worth twice that.
I tell you what, we've got some breaking team news from the Energy Check Stadium at Fir Hill. All the discussion so far has been about, will Moussa Dembele play this evening? Well, let's find out. Andrew McLean has the Celtic team.
Well, I can confirm before I go through the team that Moussa Dembele is in the squad for Celtic tonight, but he starts on the bench. The Celtic team, it looks as if they'll line up on a 4-2-3-1, an unchanged lineup from the Brechin game at the weekend. In goals, Craig Gordon, a back four of Mikael Lustig, Dedrick Boyata, Christopher Ayer and Kieran Tierney, Olivier Ncham and Scott Brown in front of them, with James Forrest, Callum McGregor, Scott Sinclair, and up front, Odson Edouard. On the bench, Doris de Vries, Simunovic, Beaton, Kouassi, Griffiths, Johnson, and that man, Moussa Dembele.
Any surprises in the studio?
Yes. I'm surprised that Lee Griffiths is not starting, Gordon. I thought he would have been a better option. As I said, you know, Saturday, Edward, I know he got his goal. But if you look at the goalkeeper, Breakin, I'm sure he'll be a bit disappointed with that. But take nothing away from the lad. He had a shot at goals and he went in and he needed the goal because, for me, he didn't have the best 90 minutes. And when you've got a guy like Lee Griffiths, who obviously is fit, I'm a bit surprised that Lee Griffiths isn't the starting lineup tonight.
Yeah, another thing, Roger, just on a more general sense, it's not often, because of all the players at his disposal, that Brendan Rodgers names an unchanged 11.
Yeah, right, but there aren't actually so many players at his disposal at the minute. When you think of the injuries to Rogic, to Roberts, to Hayes, to Armstrong, to Ralston, to Compere, his options have been limited. Lee Griffiths, I'm not sure whether Lee's 100% fit. He might just be 90% fit. So big games coming up: Hibs Saturday, Hearts Tuesday night. Maybe Lee Griffiths is just being kept in reserve for those ones.
Alec is in Drummoyne. Alec, just listening to that team whilst you were hanging on the line there, any surprise for you that Dembele's not in the starting team?
No, I'm surprised Griffiths is not. I don't know what he's got, Brendan's got against Griffiths. You know what I mean? I don't know. That wasn't my point. I was coming on to say to the panel, but are there something going on between Brendan and Griffiths? Because why is he not in that team? You're saying he might be in for Saturday, so surely the Knights, you give him the first half and take him off and keep him for Saturday.
Well, I mean, in fairness, Gordon, just to throw the other side of the argument out there, if Lee Griffiths wasn't in the squad at the weekend, is this not a sort of a process where you don't play at the weekend, you then get half an hour tonight, and then you might start at the weekend?
I think that's the way maybe the Celtic manager's going to look at it, Gordon. You know, he'll start with Edouard up front tonight. Might look at 60-70 minutes depending how the game's going. And it's got to be fair, Celtic won 5-0. I know it was breaking, I'm not being disrespectful, but they won 5-0, they were very comfortable. Brendan Rodgers is probably just went, do you know what, same again, I'll use my substitutions when I have to use them. But I do agree, because after watching Lee Griffiths for an hour and 10 minutes after the game on Saturday, he looked sharp, he looked fit, he's hungry. You know, he spat the dummy out at one point because I think his team get beat in the five-a-side. So he's wanting to get in there. He's wanting to start scoring goals again for Celtic. He wants to play. So, you know, I'm a bit surprised, because I think, no disrespect, I think he's a better player than Edward.
Alec, you want to come back in?
Yeah, my main point was, see what we get for whatever, if he does go to Dembele, doesn't matter what we get. We're not going to spend that in the team. I thought when Brendan Rodgers came here, things would be different with this biscuit tin. But what is he doing? He's keeping the money. The last two times we're in the Champions League, we get 30 million. We get money for Van Dijk, which we didn't think we were going to get. Why are they not just going out and spending money in the centre-half? Why?
Roger, I know Alec is not alone. He sounds like a lot of Celtic fans that we get on this show with a similar thought process. But if you look, I mean, I don't think it's accurate to say no money being spent. You know, 4.5 million on Cham, 4 million on Sinclair, and so on. Clearly not enough though for Alec.
And wages. You know, you have to remember that a lot of money does go on paying the players, not just paying for the players. The centre half thing absolutely fascinates me, Alec, because week in, week out on the show, we have Celtic supporters asking the exact same question that you're asking tonight. And when these questions are put to Brendan Rodgers at press conferences, frankly, Brendan's not having it. He thinks the defence is fine. He will quote all manner of clean sheet records, all manner of, you know, defensive records, how few goals have been conceded. He talks up Boyata at every opportunity. Young Adjeri talks up at every opportunity. He will say, I've spent money bringing in Marvin Compere. Now, unfortunately for Marvin, he's got this injury and isn't in the team. But it's a fascinating dynamic between the supporters, who are crying out for a centre-half more than any other position in the team, and yet, you know, you speak to the manager and the manager seems content enough with his centre-halves that he's allowed Svietchenko go. And he said last week he's got Boyata, he's got Adjer, he's got Simunovic, he's got Bitton, and he's quite happy to go with them.
Want to come back in, Alec?
Well, he's not listening to the Celtic fans then, because we see Bitton's not a centre-half. Nowhere, he's been proved in the Champions League, and he's going to get proved again in the Europa League. we're going to come flat again. You know what I mean? We need a quality centre-half to stabilise that team. Because up front, middle to front, we're okay. But we need somebody in the middle of that will just do the defending. No nonsense. Beaton tries to walk the ball out the penalty box and put us under pressure. He's no centre-half. And I thought when Brendan Rodgers came, all this would change. But is he just turning into a yes man to them as well? Because that, to my account, I think that's over $100 million we've put in the last two seasons. And there's no way they've spent $100 million on that team.
Where I'll agree with you, Alec, is I do agree that Beaton's not a centre back; he's a midfield player. But you've got to have faith in a man who's doing a terrific job at Celtic Park. He decided, and Roger's right, because we've witnessed his press conferences, and he's decided, no, I'm happy with that. So he's a manager. If he wasn't happy with it, I'm sure he'd be out there the now scouting, try to get another centre half in. You've got to trust in the manager, and you're saying that he's not listening to the Celtic fans. Maybe some Celtic fans are not listening to Brendan Rodgers because he's telling you time and time again, I'm happy with my centre-backs.
Right, whilst we wait to get the travel from Amber, here's something you can do to pass some time. Head over to Clyde1.com/NLFootball where you will see... You see where this is going?
Yeah, I see where this is going.
Where you will see myself taking on Gordon DL in a penalty shootout. Now, it's full of the pre-match boasts from Gordon DL that only Theo Snelders has ever saved one of his penalties, and he's the man from 12 yards and all the rest of it. So I won't make any more comment. I just want you to go to Clyde1.com/NLFootball and see who wins the penalty shootout. That's all I'm going to say at the moment. But there is a purpose to this as well, because Gordon and I were down checking out the impressive facilities at Ravenscraig Regional Sports Facility. Got the indoor pitch, the outdoor pitches, all the rest of it. Now, if you watch the video, there's the chance for you to find out more, and you can win some very nice football prizes as well. So that's Clyde1.com/NLFootball. Amber's coming up with the travel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Roger Hannah and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're going to hear from Jason Cummings, the new Rangers striker on loan until the end of the season, of course. We're going to hear what he's had to say, meeting the media for the first time this morning. But let's get the Partick Thistle team before we do that. Andrew McLean.
Yes, the Partick Thistle team is in, and it looks like five changes from the side that beat Queen of the South 2-1 at the weekend. It's Thomas Cherney in goals, a back four of Mustafa Doumbouya, the new man Bailey Cargill, Niall Keown and James Penrice. Then across the midfield, it's Miles Storey, Andrew McCarthy, Ryan Edwards, Abdul Osman and Blair Spittle. Connor Salmon looks to be the lone striker. As for the substitutes, Ryan Scully, Callum Booth, Chris Doolan, Chris Erskine, Adam Barton, Paul McGinn and Milan Nitrian.
Okay, thanks to Andrew McLean. We'll hopefully catch in with him just before kick-off. Let's get back to the phone lines in the meantime. Robert's a Rangers fan in Falkirk. Hi, Robert.
Hello, how you doing?
Not bad, how are you?
Good, aye. Aye, not bad, yeah.
What's your point tonight, Robert?
I saw an answer to the caller that called up a couple of minutes ago about, obviously, you got a bit excited about how Dembele's been injured throughout this whole 11 months that's gone on thing. A point I'd like to make is Doran's has played the same amount of Premiership games, sort of league games, as Dembele has, and scored more goals. So how does he sort of thing? And one's a striker and one's a midfielder. So how does it sort of come in with that then, if they've both been injured and they've both played the same amount of games?
Gordon, it's a very specific comparison. I'm sure any club who wants to buy Moussa Dembele is probably looking at a slightly bigger picture, but what do you make of Robert's point?
Well, Robert's got the facts here. I didn't know that, to be honest with you, Gordon. But when you come in for someone like Moussa Dembele, I know that you can talk about, well, he's only scored so many goals, he's not had the best season, he's been injured, yeah. But you're buying talent. You're buying a guy that will get better. He's a young player. He's a lot of development still to come with his career. And I think you're just buying something in the future. And, you know, if he gets a run of games again, then he'll get back to scoring goals. He's a natural talent. He's got everything for to be a centre forward. He's a strong lad. He's got good pace. He's got a good touch. He's got an eye for goals. So in today's market, Gordon, and you can compare Doran scoring so many goals for Rangers midfield, but it's Dembele that's in the eye just now, and people will be watching them, and you know they'll have a look. It just depends on the value. This is where I think it's got to be right. I think it's got to be a value that Celtic realise they're going to get, But talking 50 million and stuff like that, I know today's market is ridiculous, but I don't see any club in England, and I know they've got money to spend, coming up and offering Celtic anywhere near that sort of price.
What would fascinate me, I mean, we're talking about what price Moussa Dembele will be sold at. What happens if we reach the 1st of February and Moussa Dembele is still a Celtic player? Does that cause a problem for Celtic? Because Brendan Rodgers and Chris Davis have both said in the last 3 or 4 days, you know, his head's not where it should be. Can he flick a switch on the 1st of February and accept he's going to have to stay as a Celtic player to the summer if no bids have come in? And can he rediscover the form that hiked his value to such an extent 12 months ago?
I think he can, Roger. I know what you're saying. I know that I'm sure that the boy and everybody concerned will be just, you know, getting to the 1st of February and seeing where his career is, where his future lies. And I think if he's still at Celtic Park, he's a young lad. Brendan Rodgers will have a chat with him. He'll settle himself down and say, right, I can't do anything now to the summer if I'm going to get a move away from Celtic. So it's back to business for him. And I think once he gets his first goal again, as I say, he's a terrific talent. And you see Celtic on Saturday, and I know it was breaking, and they'll make so many chances. As a centre forward, Celtic will create chances from now to the end of the season. And if he starts putting the ball away again, then once again, everything rises in the summer for him. There'll be a lot of talk, a lot of clubs looking at him.
Robert, since you're a Rangers fan, I'll get your thoughts on this. Just stay where you are. Jason Cummings says any stick that he gets as a Rangers player will just spur him on to perform better. The former Hibs man's been on the receiving end of some online comments, shall we say, since sealing a move from Nottingham Forest on loan. The 22-year-old insists it's water off a duck's back. He's also hoping to strike up a partnership with Alfredo Morelos.
Definitely when I was up here before, you know, it's part and parcel with the game of football, especially up Scotland. You know, doing that, it was easy. Up here, everyone's kind of seems to give you a bit more abuse and a bit more, you get a bit more stick, but I'm used to it now, and nah, it's part and parcel. It drives me on, you know, actually makes me want to do better. So I take it as a compliment as well, you know, when the opposite team are giving you abuse or whatever, it's obviously because you're doing something well, you know what I mean? So that's the way I look at it. It's all fun in games off the pitch and all, but when I'm out on the pitch training, or when I'm out at the weekend, I'm 100% concentrated and nae joking about when it comes to the football. Aye, he's done well, and I'd love to play up with him. I don't know what the gaffer's formations. He sometimes likes playing two up front, so hopefully me and him can build up a good relationship and play up together.
Is it very clear for you, Robert, that you would like to see both Cummings and Morelos play, or are you someone that would choose one over the other for certain games?
No, I'd like to see both of them play. I'll be at Ibrox tomorrow night. I like Morelos, but I'm not sold on him. I don't think he's got the sort of attributes that Cummings has got for finishing. He puts a lot of work in, and he's quick and he's strong. He can hold the ball up, but I think we've seen against Celtic, he's not a brilliant finisher. So I think Cummings will add to that what we're lacking there.
They both play for you, Gordon?
Well, I think Morelos definitely plays, Gordon, because he's been scoring the goals. He's a top goal scorer. I think that he needs a strike partner. I don't think he's one of these guys that can play the lone role up front himself. I think he needs someone up there to do a bit of the work with him. And I think that if you get a partnership with Morelos, I think that could strike up a lot of goals for Rangers if they create the chances. So I'll be interested. Robert's right. I think a lot of Rangers supporters will be going along to Ibrox tomorrow night, because if you look at the Rangers squad, I know they've got one or two injuries just now, but they've got a big squad. They've got a lot of players. It's up to Graham Murty to fit these new players in to a system that suits. Will that be two up top, or will it be one? I think he'll go with two up top.
It'll be fascinating, because as Daz says, the squad's now bigger. The Rangers squad in December was getting topped up by kids on the bench. He had so few options. He's now got a lot of options, particularly at the sharp end of the team. You know, Cummings and Morelos, yeah, they can probably play together. But if Jamie Murphy's one side and Daniel Candeas is the other side, it's suddenly a very attacking looking side. Is there a balance there? Where's Josh Windass in all of this? So I'll be fascinated to see whether the likes of Cummings and Murphy get thrown straight in tomorrow night. Does Sean Goss get straight in tomorrow night? Where's Michael O'Halloran? Where's Andy Halliday? Because they've been brought back to the club as well. So I think the first Graham Murty lineup with all of these players at the club will be fascinating.
How are you feeling about that game tomorrow, Robert?
I'm quite confident. There's a lot of depth in the squad. I was at the 3-0 as well. And I think we've got enough attacking options now to sort of get at them. I don't think Aberdeen will cause too many problems. Rangers strengthened quite a lot, and I don't think Aberdeen, off the top of my memory, I don't think Aberdeen really have. Obviously, it's down to finances of different sort of fan bases for different clubs, etc. But I don't think that they've really strengthened enough to maintain a race, really.
Well, I suppose time will tell on that one. Thanks to Robert in Falkirk. We're going to hear from Hamilton Accies boss Martin Canning. He's been talking about this ongoing speculation surrounding Rangers and Greg Docherty, who's his player at the moment, of course. So we'll get to that as soon as we do this.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is that time of the night when we play Beat the Pundit, but Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hannah need someone to play against. So if you want to play this evening, now is the time to go and pick up that phone. Dial 0141 951 1025 and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Roger Hannah and Gordon Dalziel here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're about to play Beat the Pundit. Bit of breaking news coming out of Fir Park at the moment. Peter Hartley has joined Motherwell on a permanent deal after spending the first half of the season on loan from Blackpool. And did you see the Alexis Sanchez video last night with the piano, Roger?
Yes.
Well, Motherwell have tried to do a sort of rip-off version of that with Peter Hartley sitting at a tiny toy keyboard bashing away with some sort of Motherwell tune. So it's relatively entertaining if you're that way inclined. I'm sure Gordon Dalziel, as a resident Motherwell fan, will check that out before the
show's tomorrow night supporting the team.
Yeah, I'm sure
who are they playing?
Ross County.
Oh, well, ooh,
that's not one of the questions on Beat the Pundit, by the way.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Okay, let's meet tonight's contestant, Bobby McKean from Knightswood, and he's a Hamilton Accies fan. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, how are we doing?
Bobby, sometimes you would think that we planned these things, but if I'm being honest, it's completely accidental. We were just about to hear from Martin Canning and Greg Docherty, well, on the Greg Docherty situation. As an Accies fan, what are you making of all that at the moment?
Well, it's just the way the club works, you know. We breed young boys, sell them on and put the money back into the academy and we go again.
I think that's safe to say, Roger. I think most Accies fans are quite realistic about it. Interesting to hear Bobby there saying that if that's the way it pans out.
Listen, that's the way it worked. We spoke about it in the show after Greg had been on the show a couple of weeks ago. When he was a very young lad, he saw James McCarthy and James MacArthur go through the club, go on to bigger and better things for the career. And that's how Hamilton Accies sell the club to young players. It's now Greg Docherty's turn. He might not go in this window, but I think Bobby and, you know, everybody, all the Accies fans realise he'll go sooner or later. And then the job for Accies is to bring in the next generation. Lewis Ferguson, Ronan Hughes, Ross Cunningham, all of these young lads that, you know, will get a chance to come through and show that they can be the next Greg Docherty.
Right, Bobby, I just threw that one upon you since you were a Hamilton fan, but let's toss the coin. Heads, it's Roger Hannah. Tails, it's Gordon Dalziel. And it is heads. You're going to be up against Roger Hannah on tonight's Beat the Pundit. So let's give him some Clyde 2 in his ear. Make sure he can't steal your answers and get ready to go. Bobby, it's 30 seconds. You're head to head. Bear in mind, you can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit, okay?
Okay, no bother.
Ross County have signed which former Liverpool striker?
Pass.
Which Scottish Cup match has been postponed tonight due to a waterlogged
pitch?
I'll
be over, St. Johnson.
Chris Erskine. And which other Partick player has scored 4 goals in the league this season?
Christian.
Which club did goalkeeper Jamie McDonald win the Scottish Cup with?
Hearts.
Which Glaswegian rock band has sponsored St Rock's primary school strips?
Pass.
Who finished third in the Scottish Championship last year?
Pass.
Which English club did Neil McCann play with from 2003 to 2006? Okay, let's bring Roger Hannah back. Are you with us?
Yep.
A couple of strange ones in there. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, let's go through them, shall we, Roger? Same set of questions to you. Ready?
Yep.
Ross County have signed which former Liverpool striker?
And David Ngog.
Which Scottish Cup match has been postponed tonight due to a waterlogged pitch?
Against St Johnson.
Chris Erskine. And which other Partick player have scored 4 goals in the league this season?
Connor Salmon.
Which club did goalkeeper Jamie McDonald win the Scottish Cup with?
Hearts.
Which Glaswegian rock band has sponsored St Rock's primary school strips?
Mogwai.
Who finished third in the Scottish Championship last year?
Falkirk.
And which English club did Neil McCann play with from 2003 to 2006?
Southampton.
Okay. How are you feeling about that, Bobby?
Roger the Dodger. Just needs to get out.
I know. I think we should. I'm going to introduce some sort of handicap system if he keeps up this run anyway. Let's go through them. Ross County have signed which former Liverpool striker? It is David Ngog. One of those bizarre signings. Yep. It'll be interesting to see how that pans out. Which Scottish Cup match has been postponed tonight? Albion Rovers St Johnstone. You did get that one right, Bobby. Well done. 2-1 to Roger at the moment. Chris Erskine and which other Partick player have scored 4 goals in the league this season? It's Blair Spittle. That's quite a difficult question, I must say. Very difficult. Which club did goalkeeper Jamie McDonald win the Scottish Cup with? It was Hearts. So you're staying in touch at the moment, Bobby. It's 3-2 to Roger. But this is where he pulls ahead. It's Mogwai who have sponsored St Rock's primary school strips. Gordon DL had no idea about that one either. You should have seen the look he gave me when I read it out.
No wonder.
Roger, I'm disappointed in you. Who finished third in the Championship last season?
I was actually trying to think who won the Championship.
It was Dundee United who finished third.
Oh, behind Falkirk.
They did.
Yeah.
So none of you got that right. And which English club did Neil McCann play with from 03 to 06? It was Southampton. So 5 to Roger Hanna, 2 to Bobby McKean. He does it again, I'm afraid. Bobby, thanks for taking part.
You're welcome. Not a problem.
Good.
Cheers,
man.
Bobby,
that was Bobby McKean, a Hamilton Accies fan from Knightswood. There we have it. So let's hear a bit from Martin Canning, shall we? I said we were going to do that. This one concerns any other Accies fans that are out there. If you want to give us your thoughts, 0141 951 1025, and it may well interest Rangers fans as well, because Martin Canning says it's business as usual for Hamilton and Greg Docherty as speculation linking the midfielder with a move to Rangers continues. Remember, the Ibrox side had a bid turned down last week. There was then reports last night that an improved bid had been put in, but Canning says he's not heard anything about that, but believes Docherty can hit the same heights of the poster boys for the Accies youth system, James MacArthur and MacArthur.
I think you want it resolved as quick as you can for both the club and for Greg, but like I say, that's something that me and Greg can't control. So all we can do is just focus on our job, which is me picking the team and Greg doing his job on the park. So that's where we're at the minute, and that's where we'll be until I get a phone call telling me otherwise. I think so, particularly MacArthur. Mm-hmm. I think he's a similar type in terms of his strength, his power. He's quick as well, same as James. He's got similar attributes. Good in the ball as well. So yeah, he's definitely on par with these type of guys as well, and he can definitely kick on again. And that's one thing in football for anybody, regardless who you are. You don't know what your level is until you get the opportunity to play at that level, and then you realise, yeah, this is my level, or no, I can't play here, or yeah, I can play even higher here again. And that's what happened with the Jameses. You've got to go down and get the opportunity to go to a bigger club. You go and play at that level, you do well, you realise you can go again, then you go again, or eventually you find, no, that's a step too far, I've got to take a step back. And any footballer, regardless what level you're playing at, you don't know what your level is until you get the opportunity to go there.
Accies fans, what do you make of this? 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, how much do you want Greg Docherty? Or perhaps you think that the midfield is fine the way it is. Managers sometimes don't like to compare players. They maybe don't want to pile expectation on all the rest of it. But Martin Canning there saying that he thinks Greg Docherty sort of has what it takes, certainly, to go on and emulate the likes of James MacArthur. Whether he moves to Rangers or not, Gordon, let's put that aside for the moment. What do you make of that assessment?
Well, he works with the lad day in, day out, Gordon, and he'll have seen his progression over the years that Greg Docherty's been there. I think he's a terrific young talent. I think he'll eventually move from Hamilton, whether it will be to Rangers or, you know, you look at Alec Neil, for instance, Dick Preston, must be really keen on the lad, knows him as well. So, you know, he handles himself very well. I think he's, and the guy that was doing Beat the Pundit there, Hamilton fan, they realise that that's what the club's about. They're a selling club. They promote, they get the young players in, they give them the opportunity. They stick by their manager. They're very loyal to the manager when they're going through the bad times. And they just, they sell players on. That's what the nature of the club is. They're terrifically run. Their youth academy is brilliantly run as well. So there's a lot of work goes into it, but I think that young lad will definitely move on to bigger and better things. And Martin Cannon saying there, well, he'll find his level, can he handle it? I think he'll handle it no problem, Gordon.
What's your gut reaction at the moment telling you, Roger? Is he going to move on during this window, first and foremost? And is he going to move on to Rangers during this window?
At the minute, it's a guesstimate. I would say yes and yes to the two questions. I think Hamilton, a bit like Celtic, look resigned to Moussa Dembele moving on. I think Hamilton are resigned to Greg Docherty moving on. The time's maybe right for him to go. There was interest from south of the border. A lot of clubs have come up and watched Greg Docherty, but Rangers have been the first to actually make a bid and to get into negotiations with Hamilton. You would think that would put them in the pole position. I would think a deal would be struck in the next 8 days. It will be for a cash sum with a sell-on as well. I think Aki's are keen because the sell-on clause thing worked for McCarthy and MacArthur and for others. I think they're keen to get that into the deal as well. I would suspect it would be a deal done.
Here's a tweet we've just had in from Stuart Braithwaite, who is the electric guitar player in Mogwai, and he says, we were just an answer on the Clyde SSB quiz. What a strange day. There we are. Well, Gordon DL didn't know the answer, but Roger Hanna did. So there we are. Well done on sponsoring.
Yeah, well done to him. I believe it was a school that the boys were at many years
Saint
ago.
Rocks. But
long before they were famous.
What's the name of the band?
Mogwai.
Never heard of
it. Oh, for goodness sake, seriously.
Never heard of it. Oh, very
hang your head.
Apologies to the
hang your head.
Daz is still reeling from the news that Neil Diamond stopped touring.
That is very true. It's been a difficult day for you.
Neil Diamond. Brilliant.
James is in Barrhead. He's a Rangers fan. James, just on the subject of Greg Docherty there, is that a player that you very much hope Rangers go and land before the end of the window? Or do you see the team having good enough midfield options without?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. I think there's a bit of both to that. I think he's a great young Scottish talent, so it'd be good to see him coming on and improving the squad. I think midfield's very strong for us as it is, but I think Murphy has to be sort of congratulated how much of a turnaround in the squad and attitude that he's done in such a short time. And he's really sort of done some very good business, in my opinion, since the windows opened in January. So, yeah, I think he'd be a great addition to the squad, but... Well, we're strong there anyway, but I don't think he'll weaken it anyway. So
the good thing about this week, Roger, is, and by the way, you're not going to judge these signings on whether they succeed or fail against Aberdeen tomorrow and that alone, but this new look Rangers team is right up against one of the biggest tests of the season that it'll have. So although the Fraser Bertai would have been great at the weekend, thrown straight into the deep end, so to speak.
Yeah, they are thrown straight in, and you wonder if that might be a problem for Rangers. I think Graham Murphy would have preferred to have got Cummings and Murphy and Goss and all of these guys, Russell Martin, on the pitch at Bellesley Park on Sunday and get some game time in their legs. Aberdeen have had the perfect preparation. Saturday lunchtime, they've got a big win against a decent team. All the big attacking players performed well. They all emerged unscathed, so that was an ideal preparation. The Rangers haven't had an ideal preparation, but the game will be fascinating because the last time Aberdeen came to Ibrox, everyone thought that they were ripe for an away win, and Rangers whacked them 3-0, and then to compound it, Rangers went up to Pittodrie and beat them again. So it really will be interesting to see how the game goes tomorrow.
James, did you have another point to make?
Yeah, if it's okay, quickly, I was listening to a show on the way home from work, and there was a gentleman on speaking about Dembele's value and challenged Roger on the fact that he was out injured for so long and why that's like kind of not his fault. But I think there's also a point involved that if Dembele's been out injured for so long at the end of last season, the start of this season, that could actually negatively impact his value because he's injury prone. So it might be a benefit to hold against his record that he wasn't playing often and actually reduce his value because he wasn't playing often, if that makes sense. So I think there's an argument on both sides.
Listen, absolutely. The point I was making earlier on to the earlier callers, James, was that if you looked a year ago, clubs were queuing up and would have paid top dollar for Moussa Dembele. I don't think quite as many are queuing up now, and I don't think they'll pay the sums that were being quoted last January. I think if Celtic can get, somebody spoke about 15 to 18 million earlier on, if Celtic could get that and a sell-on clause, I think they would let Moussa Dembele go. And the next 8 days, it will be really interesting to see how this story develops.
How much emphasis do clubs, Gordon, when they're buying, put on a player's fitness record or injury record?
Yeah, they'll look at everything, Gordon. I wouldn't go along and say that, you know, the lad's injury prone. Yeah, he's had a couple of injuries. In fact, I think he'd done his hamstring at Hampden that day, tried to backheel the ball, which can happen to any player. And he was out for a while with that. But I wouldn't say, he's a young lad, he's not had anything, I would say, major injuries, Gordon, that would put other clubs off. It's just a case of, will Celtic sell him the window? Will the right offer come in? You know, Chris Davis has come out and said that, you know, his head's turned a little bit. He's looking at a move away from Celtic. Well, if Celtic get the right money for him, I'm sure that that will happen. But if he doesn't go in the window, I don't think Brendan Rodgers will be too disappointed, because every time there's a massive game, Gordon, and we always have the debate, is it going to be Moussa Dembele or is it going to be Lee Griffiths? Well, Brendan Rodgers goes for Dembele every single time. So it'll just be a case of getting back to playing for Celtic and try to get a treble and start scoring goals again, and then see what happens in the summer.
Okay, thanks to James in Barrhead. Hugh is a Partick Thistle fan in Cumbernauld. Hugh, what are you thinking ahead of the game tonight?
If we can get a wee chance, we get a wee break, maybe a penalty kick. Right, nothing, we may not get one. We didn't get one last year. Right, what I'm on about, I've got 2 points. First one very quickly is young James Penrice. I think he could be a surprise package to Celtic tonight, because this young boy has got such a left peg on him. Three kicks, corner kicks, are all swinging, all in swingers. And he'll cause havoc playing against the Celtic defence. I think Gordon may have seen him 2 weeks ago when he was at Liverpool. Would that be right, Gordon?
Yes, sorry. Yes, I did see him, Hugh. He's a good talent. And Livingston were really disappointed that, you know, Partick Thistle recalled him. He went back to them because he was doing terrifically well for Livingston. They held him, you know, in a very high standard of as a player. But Partick Thistle have benefited the fact that the boys get some game time. And, you know, he is a very, very good player, as you say.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Just my second point quickly. I noticed Celtic have been allegedly making a bid for young Jack Henry for £800,000. We had Jack Henry, albeit only for 4 weeks, and I think Celtic missed a trick by not offering Thistle £300,000 for Liam Lindsay. He's playing every week for the Championship side, Barnsley. I was wondering what your views were on that.
Well, the two of them come through at the same time, didn't they? I remember seeing the two of them very, very young at Firhill. It was Wigan, I think, who came in and signed Jack Henry at the time. And he seemed to get a little bit lost at Wigan. It didn't seem to work out for him. He was put out on loan. Then they decided to let him go, and he came back. Sometimes you need to take a step back to take two forward in your career. And he came back, and he's done well at Dundee. I was at a game, the D played Kilmarnock before Christmas. I was there for Super Scoreboard. Celtic had a scout there watching him that day. Dundee have made it clear they want £1.5 million for the player. But, you know, a club of Dundee's size, a club with Dundee's turnover, if the bidding were to get into seven figures, I would think Dundee would find it hard to say no to a bid like that for Jack Henry.
And Liam Lindsay does seem to be doing rather well down at Barnsley at the moment, isn't he?
I think Liam went down. And Stevie Marlin went down at the same time from St Mirren, I should say. And I think everyone thought Stevie Marlin would take the place by storm and maybe outshine Liam. It's been the other way about. And if Scotland ever appoint another manager, you would think one of the centre-halves he would look at would be Liam Lindsay.
Surely then, between a lot of averages, Roger, between Liam Lindsay and Jack Henry and John Souter and Ross McCrory and Scott McKenna, surely the centre half that we've been crying out for as a nation is there somewhere.
And Harry Souter too, John's younger brother, who I believe signed a new contract with Stoke City today. He's been in the bench two or three times for Stoke's first team in the Premiership. So finally, we seem to be getting centre halves through, just as Russell Martin gets first team football at Rangers. So there may be a few for the manager to choose, if we ever get a manager.
So Hugh, the Partick fan in Cumbernauld, looking forward to things tonight. Jim McLaughlin on Twitter, he says, I think Archie's written this one off. A guy at right back out for over a year, and a new signing straight in, a youngster back from loan to Livy instead of Booth. So that's the Jags fans having their say. We're going to get these to a full time teaser, and some very interesting comments from Derek McInnes on the Scotland manager's job. That's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna are about to take on the full-time teaser. I know lots of you play along at home, so listen up. Here is the question sent in by Martin Burns, and this is quite a tricky one. What are you signing at?
I don't like Martin Burns' teasers.
Why? Because they're difficult?
Yeah, all right, we're okay. Only there for Roger.
We're looking for the 12 players to have made their Celtic debuts aged 33 or older post-war. So you've got quite a lot to take in there. So we're looking for the 12 post-war Celtic
post-war
players. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, there's not too many going back.
Come on.
So the 12 players post-war have made their Celtic debuts aged 33 or older. Don't be too put off by the word post-war. There's not that many going too far back.
Roy Keane.
Let me consult my list. Yes, Roy Keane was 34 when he made his Celtic debut.
Oh, who did you say?
Roy Keane.
Freddie Ljungberg.
Yes, Freddie Ljungberg was also 33. Any more at the moment before I give you some thinking time?
No.
Okay, we'll get back to that one. Thanks to Martin Burns. Remember, if you've got a teaser you want to send in and try and catch the guys out with, it's fulltime at Clyde1.com. That's fulltime at Clyde1.com.
Lubo?
He was 33, well done. Ah, we're off and running. Plenty of time to get the rest of the answers. Let's hear from Derek McInnes, because he says he is interested in becoming the Scotland manager, just not at the moment. Michael O'Neill's decision to snub the job yesterday means that the door's very much open for other candidates, and whilst McInnes doesn't think O'Neill's knockback is that big a deal, he says it's not one for him at this moment in time.
You know, disappointed that it's kind of been quite prolonged, and it's you would maybe have thought that it was going to be the case, it would have been the manager that the SFA wanted clearly, and you know, and it's clear that Michael, you can see why they were attracted to getting Michael, but you know, I don't think it's the be-all and end-all. It's disappointing, but there's other good managers out there, and I'm sure that the SFA will be working hard. I don't think they should be criticised for trying to get their man, and they never got him. But there's no doubt he would have been a good candidate for the job. I'm as you all know, you're well aware, I'm how happy I'm at Aberdeen. You know, and you know, there's certain jobs you would like to do, to manage and do in the future and in your career, and Scotland would be one of those. But for now, I think it's you know, whether you're a candidate or whether you're not, and people's thinking that for me, the job in hand at Aberdeen is what's important.
It's a bit early to really know if Derek McInnes was a serious contender for the Scotland job or not. I mean, we've seen his name mentioned. He was asked a question today, and that was his answer.
Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't a serious contender, because the SFA decided in their wisdom there only was one serious contender, a man called Michael O'Neill. And Michael has turned down the chance to manage Scotland, and the SFA board do not have a plan B. So they are now back to the drawing board. They will now look at a whole long list. They have had applications. They have so far ignored those applications. They have a performance director there with a good managerial record. They've already ruled him out of the running for the job. So Stuart Regan and Alan McRae and the other members of the board are under scrutiny like never before, because when the job became vacant, and it was their doing that it became vacant, they sacked Gordon Strachan, remember. At that time, Paul Lambert was out of work, might well have taken it. Davey Moyes was out of work, might well have taken it. I believe Alec Neil might have been out of work at that stage as well. I can't quite remember. Certainly Moyes and Lambert were. But now all of these people are in jobs that pay more than the SFA pay. So if anyone fancies the job, I'd phone Hamden tomorrow, because you've as much chance of getting it as anyone else.
What about the counter-argument though, that in fact Derek McInnes himself put forward there? He said, I don't think they should be criticised for going for their main man just because he didn't get the job.
But a couple of people have said this to me. You know, Rangers didn't get their first target. Stoke didn't get their first target. Everton didn't get their first target. I see all of that. But Stoke and Everton and Rangers all had a plan B that they activated straight away. You know, Stoke and Everton get knocked back after 3 days, not 3 months. If you think back to when Scotland lost to England at
the first
Wembley,
month, though, Northern Ireland still had to play their playoffs. I mean, three months is perhaps a bit of an exaggerated figure.
But Gordon, Northern Ireland have been out of the running for 2 months, more than 2 months, since they were knocked out by Switzerland.
That's fine, I'll give you two.
Yeah, more than 2 months. Had the SFA been knocked back by Michael O'Neill the week after Northern Ireland's elimination, then everyone would have said, oh, listen, unlucky guys, I can understand why you went for Michael O'Neill. I do understand why they went for Michael O'Neill, because he's got a proven record in the international arena. What I don't understand is why the talks weren't the week after Northern Ireland were eliminated, and now why there's no plan B. Stuart Regan will be in Lausanne in Switzerland tomorrow for the Nations League draw. Every other country will be every other chief executive will be walking around with a manager by his side. Wales lost their manager. Ryan Giggs is there. He'll be there with the Welsh FA tomorrow. Michael O'Neill will be there with the Northern Irish FA tomorrow. Everyone is a manager, and Stuart Regan will be wandering about there. hopefully with a wee placard saying, anyone fancy the Scotland job, boys?
John is in Linwood. Hi, John.
Hi, Gordon, Roger and the legend.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
How you doing? Legend, what I ask is, obviously you've had an experience being a manager, obviously know a legendary experience of being a manager, but would you guys turn your nose up at a manager who, as I said, hasn't got a lot of experience as far as budget is concerned? When I say budget, I mean club level. Reason why I'm saying that, I mean, does it make a good manager, or does it make a manager's job easier having a big budget? I would say yes. And the reason why I'm going to there is because I'm going to go to a lower league and put a manager's name in the bag, and that would be Jack, the Giant Slayer at St Mirren, potential Giant Slayer. All right, he's not got a big budget, but I reckon he's a great manager. He's got a lot of bottle. He can go and have conversations with, you know, his public, face-to-face, without any anger. But what I'm fed up with us, as Scotland, is always saying we have to make the right decision. Now, we've been doing that for the past 20 years, and it's boring me. So the talking just now is think out of the box. Are we that arrogant that we couldn't go to a lower league and maybe give Jack a chance? Because I think he's a potential for being a good manager with a small budget, but getting players together and playing for them. And that's what Scotland needs. Obviously, you know, as I said, we can say, you know, think out the box. I think Jack's a good shout, guys.
Well, listen, there'll be plenty, John, there'll be plenty of people throwing plenty of names. I heard Ali McCoy earlier on talking about Steve Clark at Kilmarnock being one. There will be people who will talk up, you know, plenty of other club managers. Jack Ross, I think if you spoke to Jack would probably say he's lacking a wee bit of experience for that job. He's never managed at a top flight, you know, club, far less, you know, anything like the Scotland job. But you look at Wales, I just mentioned him, Ryan Giggs. He's never managed a team other than what, 4 games as a caretaker manager, and yet he's taking charge of Wales. So this is a big decision. This is a really big decision for the SFA. I think they've backed themselves into a corner by only having a plan A. I think it was foolish for Stuart Regan to publicly rule out Malky Mackay, because now that Michael O'Neill's knocked them back, ordinarily people might be saying, give it to Malky, decent record as a manager, by all accounts doing a very good job as performance director, but already he seems to have been ruled out of the running. So at every turn the SFA are ruling out people. It's about time, you know, they put together a short list or a long list and started speaking to the potential candidates, and they're going to have to appoint somebody sometime. So why not speak to a Jack Ross or a Stevie Clark, or add as many names in as you like?
I think it's quite simple, Roger. Listen in tomorrow night. Mark Guidi will tell us who's the next Scotland manager's going to be, because he obviously said it was going to be Michael O'Neill. That didn't happen. So it'll be interesting to see what Mark's thoughts on it. I don't think that Jack Ross is ready for an international job. I think he's doing a terrific job at St Mirren. I think the day-to-day football, running, training is what he's all about. So it's not a bad shout from John, but I just feel that it needs someone to get in there. Michael O'Neill was the candidate, obviously, and he's refused it. So I'm with Derek McInnes a little bit. I think that, you know, Stuart Radin's come in for a lot of criticism. He went after his number one target, and if he got the number one target, Roger, I think everybody would be sitting here saying it was a good decision from Stuart Regan and the board. But unfortunately, Michael O'Neill's decided not to take the Scotland job. So he's got to move quickly, and there's no knee-jerk reaction of just jumping in and taking somebody that's available. They've got to make sure he's the right person.
Thanks to John and Linwood. How are you getting on with this teaser?
Right.
We're looking
Ian
for
Wright.
The 12. Let me finish the question. We're looking for the 12 players who made their Celtic debuts aged 33 or older post-war.
Yeah, Ian Wright.
Yes, he was 35.
And I'll tell you another one.
Will you?
Yeah. He's on the staff now. Tory.
He was 35 as well. Well done, Roger.
Doris De Vries.
Yes, Roger. Also 35.
Dion Dublin.
Oh, you're absolutely cruising. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, now, 7 so far.
One of the things that didn't confuse me, but
I'll take one more name quickly.
Think, thinking, you know, the question for Martin Burns asking about post-war. Ronnie Simpson.
Yes, well done. 34 years of age, Ronnie Simpson was. Okay, plenty of time left for you guys to get the rest of those correct answers. Hopefully one or two will catch you out. John is in Coatbridge. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. Hi, Gordon, Gordon and Roger.
Hi, hello. John.
Hi, John.
I tried to get through last night, and I actually think Scotland done well. The one I watched with Mike O'Neill not taking the job. What does the panel think of about Ben Bielitz, Big Slaven Bielitz taking the job? If he could afford it.
Well, I watched.
That's the big if, isn't it?
Slaven Bielitz was on TV last night as a guest pundit doing the Swansea Liverpool game, and I actually sat and listened to him for an hour after the game, and he's one of these guys, John, you could sit and listen to forever talking about football. He's managed four clubs in four different countries. He's managed a Croatian national team. He's been to major finals with a Croatian national team. He knows British football because he played in it with Everton and West Ham. He's managed in it with West Ham. He, for me, would tick every single box, because I said at the start when they looked at Michael O'Neill, I can understand why they were looking at him, because he's got a track record in international football, which for me is important. Slaven Bielic also ticks that box. But Gordon Duncan touched on it there. Could they afford Slaven Bielic? Because he, for many years, has been used to getting very big salaries from very big football clubs. I suspect he would see his future getting a very big salary from a very big football club. So if the SFA were going for him, they would need to sell Scottish football to him very well, and they would need to pay him very well. But I, you know something? I would love to see the SFA showing a bit of ambition and going and speaking to him. I said at the very start, my preferred candidate would be Jurgen Klinsmann. Go and show a bit of ambition. Because if Stuart Regan and Alan McRae go to Klinsmann and Klinsmann says, listen, boys, I like what you're saying, but it's maybe just not for me just now. And Slaven Bielic says the same. Listen, guys, I've been really impressed with what you've told me, but I'm going to go into club football. You couldn't have a go at the SFA for showing ambition and speaking to this level of manager. So I think Bielic is as good a shout as I've heard.
Could I make another point, Roger, there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it's a bit controversial, but as far as I'm concerned, there's too many, as it's always quoted on all these different programmes, there's too many blazers at SFA picking up money for doing sort of nothing. I think, see, if they start to cut out half of these guys, they could afford to pay big wages to one of these top managers. To me, there's people there picking up money for doing absolutely hee-haw. What I mean? I've thought that for years. I just, know what I mean? I think they could, I know maybe it's a bit controversial, know what I mean? But as I say, some of them to me are picking up money for hee-haw. Know what I mean? They're just there, turned up in their blazers to all these different presentation dances, etc. and that, know what I mean? And it's like that money could be put to better use, not just for a Scotland manager, but even to put it into youth football, know what I mean?
Jamie's on Twitter with a sort of similar point, Roger. He says he wants to hear the guys' thoughts on how much of the blame Stuart Regan takes, essentially. I've just paraphrased his tweet, hope he doesn't mind.
Listen, people will say that Scotland haven't qualified for a major final since 1998, and that cycle of failure wasn't all on Stuart Regan's watch. But in recent times, a lot of it has been on Stuart Regan's watch. And, you know, players, you know, if players don't qualify for finals, eventually the players get discarded and, you know, they're no longer playing for the international team. And as Gordon Strachan discovered in October, eventually if managers fail to qualify for two or three different finals, then managers get sacked. It's as simple as that. Does the same happen for chief executives?
It's approaching kickoff at Fir Hill. We'll try and cross over there just before kickoff after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Kick-off between Partick Thistle and Celtic just moments away. Let's cross live over to the Energy Check Stadium at Fir Hill for a quick recap of the teams with Andrew McLean.
Well, Partick Thistle line up in a 4-5-1 formation tonight. Five changes from the side that beat Queen of the South 2-1 at the weekend. Thomas Cherney in goal, a back four of Mustafa Dumbuya, Bailey Cargill, Niall Keown and James Penrice. Across the midfield, it's Miles Storey, Ryan Edwards, Andrew McCarthy, Abdul Osman, Blair Spittle and Connor Salmon is the man up front. On the bench, Scully, Booth, Doolan, Erskine, Barton, McGinn and Nitrianski as for Celtic, an unchanged side from that 5-0 win against Brechin at the weekend. 4-2-3-1 they line up. Craig Gordon in goal, Mikael Lustig, Dedrick Boyata, Christopher Ayer and Kieran Tierney the back four, Olivier Ncham and Scott Brown sitting in midfield, with James Forrest, Callum McGregor and Scott Sinclair in behind Odson Edouard. The bench: Doris DeVries, Yoto Simunovic, Nurbiton, Lee Griffiths, Moussa Dembele, Mikey Johnson and Ebue Kouassi. The referee here, as we're just about to get underway at the Energy Check Stadium, is John Beaton.
Okay, we're going to be here for the next 10 minutes or so, so we'll keep you right up to date with anything that happens in the opening exchanges between Partick Thistle and Celtic. Roger Hannan, Gordon Dale, just for a bit of fun, I'll take a wee score prediction from you, if you don't mind.
I'll go 2-0 Celtic.
Okay.
I'll go 3-1 Celtic.
Okay. Well, I can try and slag you next week if you get it drastically wrong. What about that teaser? Did you get anything else during the break?
Yeah,
we're looking for the
yeah.
12 post-war Celtic players to make their debuts aged 33 or older. So we're looking at the likes of Dion Dublin, Ian Wright, Doris DeVries, Colo Touré, Roy Keane, Ronnie Simpson, Freddie Ljungberg and Lubo Moravcik.
Alan Ruff.
Mm-hmm.
Very well done. That is another
and
tricky one. He was 36.
Stephen Presley
was 33. So we're looking at two more. Yes, two more, and about 10 minutes or so to get them. Let's get back to the phone. Stephen's in Renfrew. Hi, Stephen.
Good evening to Gordons and Roger.
Hello, Stephen.
My first point is in the Scotland job. I think Stevie Clark ticks the box, but I don't think you need a manager straight away. Who's been off the radar? I would like him to be understudy, Stephen Presley. He's been very good with the Falkirk Academy come through, and he's not. I don't think he's in a job, is that true?
Yeah, that's correct at the minute, yep.
So I think they two would tick the boxes. Stevie Clark's doing a wonderful job, whether he'll leave straight away, but there's only friendlies coming up. Maybe Stephen Presley could maybe take over. I don't know if he's been mentioned, but what's your thoughts on that one?
I think the clock is ticking for the SFA. People will say, oh, there's only friendlies coming up, but the whole purpose of the four friendlies that were announced at the weekend is to prepare the new manager and get a squad bedded in for the start of the Nations League games in September. I don't think we want to hang about too long. You know yourself, if you're starting a new job, Stephen, you want to get in, you want to meet people, you want to find out what the place is like, you want to go and speak to potential players, their club managers, you want to get your own staff put in place as well. So the clock is ticking. I think Stevie Clark is a decent shout. He's in very good form. I think he's reigning manager of the month, isn't he? He's done well. He's got a good background. He has worked with all the guys, Dalglish, Mourinho, you name it. He's worked with them all. So, you know, he can. He's got a very, very good CV. The one thing he doesn't have is experience of international football. And that's what sets him against the Michael O'Neill's, the Slaven Bilic's, the Jurgen Klinsmann's. But I certainly don't think the SFA, you know, should get into a position where they just, you know, discount these people. I think they should speak to as many people as possible, and that allows them to make a call on who's the best.
Yeah, I totally agree that you don't want to go down the pecking order. You've got to go for the best, and I think the best are Stevie Clark and Presley combination. Can I make a quick second point?
Yeah, on you go, Stephen.
Celtic centre defence, everybody's on they need to sign somebody, but they don't really need to. I was on a few weeks ago about Christopher Ayer. And now he's now settled in the Celtic team. But Marvin Compere is the Celtic manager's signing, so he'll be the experienced one.
Well,
to bring on,
speaking of which, Stephen, the centre backs, it was a decent chance there for Dedrick Boyata inside the first 3 minutes, Gordon.
Yeah, come from a corner, Gordon. He was at the back post himself. And he should have really done better, but it was a typical centre-half's effort at goals. As you say, the ball went flying high over the bar. So Celtic have created two chances in the opening couple of minutes. Edouard should really have done better as well. His touch let him down the box. So they've got off to a good start, Celtic, on the front foot.
Stephen was talking about Christopher Ayer there, Roger, and I think I'm going to do this off the top of my head. I think is it five starts in a row now for Christopher Ayer? Something along those lines. How much has he cemented that place at the moment, do you think?
Well, he's cemented it enough that Jozo Stojmunovic can't get back into the team. And this was a guy who's been spoken about as a £10 million centre-half. It was notable, Daz pointed out to me in the game on Saturday, Brendan Rodgers came out at one stage in the first half and was imploring the two centre-backs, Boyata and Adjar, rather than playing the ball between each other, to stride forward with the ball. And that's one thing you say about Adjei, he's very, very comfortable, you know, considering he's 6'5".
He seems to like doing it more than the other ones, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he's also very adept at it, Gordon. It's not surprised me that Brendan Rodgers has moved him back to centre-half when you see the way he can perform like that. But he's been given a chance, he's there, he looks to be first choice now alongside Boyata, ahead of Simunovic, and it's up to the lad to take the chance. It's the people like Martin Canning talking about Greg Docherty earlier on. All managers can do is give players the platform to show what level they can get to. And so far, Christopher Adjei hasn't let Brendan Rodgers down.
And Gordon, that was another good chance for Celtic this time. Odson Edouard into the box. He could have passed it.
Yeah, he should have done better. He had good support there. But he tried to take the shot on himself, Gordon. It wasn't the greatest effort, and the goalkeeper had an easy save. But Celtic, I know there's only 5 minutes on the clock, but they're totally dominating this game. They've been right at it from the first whistle. They've created a couple of chances, got a few corners as well, and all the possession is with Celtic. And they're putting, you know, the two fullbacks are high up the park. We were touching on centre halves getting into the midfield and playing. Boyata just 2 or 3 minutes ago just stepped in at the middle of the park to go and play, but. No, they've got off to a good start, so it'll be interesting. It's particularly neat. They've got a wee chance here in the right hand side, and it's a good ball played in, but it's well defended. I think this has got the makings of a good game.
Stephen, how do you see this one panning out for your team tonight? Are you expecting a comfortable evening, or is the potential there for a bit of an upset?
Well, I don't think there's a banana skin. I think Celtic are enjoyed their breakaway in Dubai, and they're coming back, which is a strange one, going to hot country, coming back in the cold one. I don't understand that, but they've recharged their batteries, maybe 3 or 4 nil tonight.
Well, confident, Stephen.
Thanks for your comments anyway, lads.
Thanks, Stephen. That was Stephen and Renfrew. Gordon, just a half sniff there for Partick Thistle, just looked to try and get in behind Christopher Ayer. It was Ryan Edwards trying to run in behind.
Yeah, that's what they'll try and do. They're playing with a lone striker, Gordon, so they're trying to, you know, hit Celtic in the counter. But the two centre halves, you know, they're playing well together. I think they're developing a good partnership at the back for Celtic. But the game's got off to a good start. It's lively. But Celtic, as I say, had the better of the possession, had the better of the chances so far. I think that Celtic will win this tonight. I said 2-0. I think it'll be a comfortable 2-0 because they look like they've got all the possession already.
Now, of course, we will take a closer look at tomorrow's games on tomorrow's show, funnily enough. But just quickly before we let you two go, because we won't get the chance to speak to you, cracking midweek fixture card we've got tomorrow night as well, Roger. Obviously, Rangers against Aberdeen is going to take a lot of the attention.
Rangers and Aberdeen will take 99% of the attention, I would think. Derek McInnes' first visit to Ibrox since saying no thank you to the offer from Rangers. Fascinating to see the reception he gets. And it'll be fascinating to see if Aberdeen turn up, because they didn't turn up at Ibrox the last time. They were well beaten 3-0. Rangers then went up to Pittodrie with 10 men and won the game there as well. So if Rangers can perform for Graham Murphy the way they did in those two games, they should win the game and draw level on points again with Aberdeen. But as you say, fascinating games everyone. Fascinating to see how Hearts and Hibs react after that rather ill-tempered end to the derby on Sunday as well. And a big night for Motherwell. Peter Hartley on board, home to Ross County, who are still bottom of the league and desperate for points.
Gordon, Rangers against Aberdeen. I mean, Rangers still trailing Aberdeen in the league, but of course, mm-hmm. with the two wins in the recent head-to-heads between the sides.
Yeah, it should be a good atmosphere, Gordon. There'll be a packed house there, obviously, that adds a little bit of spice with Derek McInnes coming back to Ibrox. But it'll be interesting to see with the new players that Rangers have brought in, who will he play, what formation, what style of football is he looking? Will he go the two up top and try and score as many goals as he possibly can? Or will he sacrifice one of the strikers and just go with one up top? But I'm sure every Rangers fan in Aberdeen are looking forward to that one. I'll be sitting in my seat at Fir Park, Gordon, and hope Motherwell can get a good victory against Ross County.
And just finally, before we go, a final roundup, Gordon, from Fir Hill, what's happened inside the opening 8 minutes or so?
Yeah, I think Celtic have started the better, Gordon, and like Saturday, everything seems to be down the left-hand side with Scott Sinclair and Tierney getting forward, and they've got the better of the play so far. All that's missing, and Partick are playing a very high line, which I think is a bit dangerous, because Edouard, the one thing about him, he likes to run in behind defenders, and with the quality Celtic have got in the middle of the park, that could be a big danger tonight for him.
Okay, you're still looking for two Celtic players who were 33 years old or older when they made their debuts for the Hoops. Any ideas?
One must be a goalkeeper.
One is not a goalkeeper. One, you've already got Alan Ruff and Doris de Vries.
I'm just thinking about Elvis. Paul Hartley?
No.
No.
You're not too far off in terms of era.
Barry Robson?
No. This guy does have one Scotland cap, I think. Yeah, he does.
One Scotland cap?
He came from Southampton to Celtic.
That's not really helping me.
He also played for the likes of Coventry, Bournemouth, Leeds.
I've done Paul Telfer, haven't I?
Yes.
Really?
Paul Telfer, 33. And another one, he was a centre back. And
I've no
chance. A big centre back with a bald head.
Daniel Mistoni.
I thought that was going to be somehow a difficult clue. I don't know why. I gave you it on a plate, you know, Daniel Mistorovic.
You know something? I actually thought about him at the start and I forgot all about him until you said that.
Oh, did you? Likely story. Thanks to Roger Hanna and Gordon Dalziel for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's still Partick nil, Celtic nil, 10 minutes to go. We'll be back tomorrow night with all the post match reaction and a preview of tomorrow's games.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.